Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. Amanda Grace here with you. We are live. I have something to say that was jumped up here in my face. Welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. It is December 23rd. It is 2 days before Christmas. So welcome, everyone. Yes, Merry Christmas to everybody jumping on. I see people jumping on from Virginia, Rhode Island. Oh, we love Rhode Island. Chris loves Watch Hill, Rhode Island. Washington State. Let's see. From England. Hello, hello. I think they do Boxing Day in England. So happy early, I think in Canada and England, if I'm not mistaken. So happy Boxing Day as well. Let's see. Long Island, New York. Hello. Yes. Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah Sameach to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Hanukkah actually begins Christmas Day this year, which is interesting. They overlap. So Hanukkah begins Christmas Day. Hello to our neighbors in New Jersey, Ohio, Louisiana, Alaska, Vancouver, Washington, Mississippi. Let's see who else is here. Indiana, Oregon. Welcome, welcome, Texas. God bless Texas. More people coming in from the UK and Canada. Welcome, welcome. And hello to everybody else jumping on. I see people in Albany, New York, which is near where I went to school, as well as Hawaii, are coming on as well. And hello to everybody else jumping on. We so appreciate you coming on with us about 2 days before Christmas. And our moderators, Sadie keeps trying to walk across the camera. Here she is. You've got to get down now, honey. I'm sorry, but you have to get down. Our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. We're going to open up in prayer. We have quite a bit to get into today. I have a very interesting story to tell you as well. Very interesting. So if you would share this broadcast, like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. We're going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you, your almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your holy, precious name, Father God. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day, Father, asking the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Father, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father God. We all fall short, Father God, of your glory, and we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. He was birthed into this earth, Father God. Lord, he was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He victoriously rose again. He is ruling and reigning at your right hand forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, we honor that before you this day. We praise you for the birth, Father God, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place, Father. Let your power and your might move, Father God. Let just your power mightily go forth, that people tangibly feel your presence, Father God. Have your way, Father God. Let your glory, Father God, be felt, Father God. Let just the weight of your glory just fall, Father God, and mightily go forth. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you fill me this day and those watching with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father, go before me tonight, Lord. Be my front and rear guard, Father, as we go forth in you. Order our steps tonight, Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, sabotage, harm, or destruction that the enemy, satanic agents, dark forces, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, and willing vessels would attempt. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ and command that nullified, voided, disarmed, disabled, rendered powerless, dismantled, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, and it bound up and cast back to the dry places, pits, and areas you have designated for such to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself, Father God. You are the potter, and most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Father, we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the immense sacrifice, Father God. Lord, we just give you glory, Father God, and praise for who you are, Father, that you are high and lifted up, Lord, that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, Father God. We thank you, Father God, and we love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, welcome to those who were jumping on, Father God, who were jumping on during this broadcast. Lord, I just pray that you bless everyone here who is watching. A very Merry Christmas and a Hanukkah Sameach to our Jewish brothers and sisters, being Hanukkah does start Christmas Day this year. We will light the menorah. So one of the nights we'll do it live and we'll light the menorah and we'll go through it with you so you can see the prayer and everything that is done in the lighting of the menorah. I wanted to thank our moderators. We'll put the picture up real quick before we get into tonight. Our moderators, who are Renee, Kristen, Karen, Diana, Katie, and Lisa, sent us these beautiful flowers. They arrived at the house today, and we are just very touched. Thank you to our moderators who do such an amazing job. We just so appreciate you sending that to us. And stay tuned to the end because we have some hilarious photos for you. We're going to get into everything else first, but we got some hysterical photos for you at the end that you truly will enjoy. So let me get this up because we're going to go into a few areas here of what's going on right now. And so we're going to put up this article first. And we're actually going to do two articles, but we're going to do them one at a time. So let's put up the first article. There's something up here. Democrats, media allies push talking point that Elon Musk is truly incoming president instead of Trump. Liberal media outlets and Democratic lawmakers have grasped onto a new talking point that the incoming administration gets ready to enter the White House. Elon Musk is a shadow president. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? As they have had a shadow presidency for well over 4 years. And they want to just, the enemy always deflects. He always will accuse you of exactly what he's doing. Taking the reins from President-elect Donald Trump. And here's another one. Here's another article. I'm going to show you the biblical precedent here in just a moment. Okay, why Democrats are calling Elon Musk President Musk. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has become a key figure in U.S. politics, particularly within the Republican Party. His influence has drawn attention from many Democrats who, with growing frustration, have sarcastically begun referring to him as President Musk. Okay, so this is an interesting turn of events that the Democrats are taking. However, there is a biblical precedent for this, and we have to pray because the enemy has an angle with this here. He has an angle to derail the whole presidency with this. And I'm going to show you how the enemy has a plot to derail the entire presidency through stirring up those in the liberal media and those who call themselves Republicans who are holding hands in the dark to stir this up. And we're going to go to it right now. Here, let me just hold on here. Hold on 1 second here. My mouse is okay. There we go. 1 Samuel 18:6-12. I'm going to read this account. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter. So David has just, I want you to, here's the setup. David has just returned victorious. David is returning from a great battle victorious. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, which also means Palestine, that the women came out of all cities. Now keep that. I want you to remember I'm saying this. The women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instrumental of music. Now, do you see how music is spelled? It's spelled M-U-S-I-C-K in the Amplified. The word musk is in that. So just keep that in mind. The word musk is in that spelling of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. The saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Verse 10, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. An evil spirit comes upon Saul and he prophesies, okay? Now, this isn't a prophecy coming from a pure stream. And David played with his hand and at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Okay, now in verse 7, it says, and the women answered one another. So let's go back to verse 6 for a second. That the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing. The women came out to meet Saul. The women came out and started saying this, that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. What are the women of The View doing right now? What are they doing? They have been the ones that have been part of stirring up this President Musk as well. And the women came out of the city. And the media outlets have been part of stirring this up, calling him President Musk. And they are attempting to use Donald Trump's own ego against him and cause division and strife among Elon and Trump, right? Because where there's division, the enemy can be strengthened. A house divided cannot stand. But this is also an attempt from an old playbook of the enemy to try to get Donald Trump to step out of a David anointing and become a Saul, trying to use his own ego against him and get him to step out from that David anointing and from the covering of God and to begin to go after Elon and pursue and cause a public mess and become a Saul. This is what they are attempting to do right now. They are attempting to purposely do it. The enemy is attempting to purposely do it. He's purposely alluring in those in the liberal media outlets, those in The View and others to do this right now, to stir this up, to get Trump to step out from under that David anointing, from under that covering of God and become a Saul, first of all. Secondly, this is why Nathan the prophet and Gad the seer were around David and were the guardrails for him, because David had an ego and made foolish decisions from that ego. Guardrails were put on David because David could go sideways real fast and cause an issue in the kingdom. And those guardrails were called Nathan and Gad. And so the enemy is detecting, I believe, that those potential guardrails are not there when it comes to President Trump. And he is attempting to use an old tactic against him, right? Being that Trump endured very similar tests and trials that David did. So the enemy is attempting now instead to use the ego and to play this Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands and stir that up. But instead of those terms, it's using the term President Musk. in order to try to get Trump into a fence and cause an issue. Now, 1 Samuel 18, 12 through 16. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him. Listen, Saul removed David from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Now, Saul removed him from his sight. Trump is starting to put things out there like Elon Musk will not be president. That's exactly what the enemy wants him to do. The enemy wants him to take the bait of this right now and step into an area of weakness where the enemy can attack him. The problem is the intellectuals that are around him are probably not going to realize this, right? Because intellectuals, when it comes to a root of spiritual and morality, have a very hard time with that. In fact, they have a tendency to gaslight these issues rather than try to quell them or subdue them. And so this is a very similar pattern that is forming right now that we have to pray, because the enemy is roaming around looking for areas of weakness. And one area of weakness for Donald Trump is his ego. I don't know how else to say it. I have to be honest about it. One area of weakness for him is his ego. And so the enemy now is looking to use that and cause a clash of the titans publicly that is going to distract, that could potentially make a mess, that could potentially cause instability in the nation. And it's just, it's interesting. So we have to pray that the enemy doesn't get in there, because the Lord is very much trying to get to Elon Musk. And if the enemy gets in with these two, it's going to be ugly. And so we just have to pray right now. Now, we're going to go to 1 Samuel 19, 8 through 13. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers on to David's house to watch him. This is what happened at Mar-a-Lago when they attempted to kill Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed. She took an image, you know, which she took an idol. Michal took an idol and puts it in the bed. So when Saul's men come up and tear those covers off, right, there's an idol there. Idolatry, exactly what Saul is committing. His daughter Michal puts in that bed. And she uses goat's hair. Of all things, she puts goat's hair to imitate the hair of David to make it look like he's in the bed when he's not. And what does the word of God say? He separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep from the goats. And the goat hair was put in the bed on the idol that would be ripped off that Saul and his men, right? Would be staring right at, which I find an interesting picture. So the spirit, this ancient spirit, all right, it's actually, I believe, more than one, that attempted to kill Donald Trump, that attempted to destroy him, is still roaming around right now looking for an entry point. And if it can destroy him with his own ego, because the intellectuals probably will not know how to deal with this, because it's at the root a spiritual issue, then this spirit will attempt to bring him down now through his own ego by riling it up, by now saying President Musk, oh, Elon's the real president. He's the shadow president, to try to get Trump out from under that covering to step into the territory of Saul, which is something he doesn't want to do right now before he steps into the presidency. Because right now we are kind of in that limbo state till January 20th. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't care how he has to destroy, who he has to use, what he has to use, if he's got to use someone's own ego to do it. Because why? He studies. Familiar spirits study. And then they strategically and methodically go after their prey. And while this is going on, to just prove right now that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But Jesus Christ came to give life and life more abundant, which we went over one of the last broadcasts. That was the name of this Christian school in Wisconsin, Abundant Life, that a horrific school shooting happened at days before December 21st, right? And only about a week or so before Christmas. On top of this, Joe Biden, on the heels of the Abundant Life school shooting, commutes the sentences of many people on death row. And he does this on the heels. Biden commutes sentences of nearly every prisoner on federal death row. So let me tell you why this happened now. There's a few reasons. First of all, the enemy wants to counterfeit what God does. The year 5784 was the year of the prison doors opening to Joseph. And we saw that happen with the nation, right? And with Donald Trump. So the enemy wants to counterfeit that. How does he counterfeit it? Being we just came out of the year 5784, we're going into 5785. He does this. Joe Biden commutes the sentences of nearly everybody on federal death row, because the enemy has to counterfeit and attempts to counterfeit and do the antithesis through that counterfeit of what God is doing. And so now, in the middle of this, in the middle of the Abundant Life school shooting, Joe Biden thinks it would be a good idea to do this, which is really trying to gaslight the nation right now. And let me tell you what else he's doing. He's commuting the death sentences of everybody federally on death row, but he's still leaving those from January 6th in prison. So he's doing this right now to gaslight the nation, right? Those that are controlling him are doing this right now to gaslight the nation. And being that we are entering the year 5785, being that we're entering this right now, flanked by fives, right? Double grace. Five is hey in the Hebrew alphabet. It means grace, behold, an announcement. So this is a year that is flanked by grace, a year of double grace. And within the middle of that, right? You see the number 78. 7-8. 7 is Zayin. It means sword or crown. 8 is Chet. It means life. So it is the year. We can look at this two ways, right? We can look at it as the year of the sword or life. We have been given a window of grace, and we must choose whether this is the year of the sword or the year of life. Because you can look at it too as the sword going after life because of what happened at Abundant Life, right? But Zayin also means crown, crown of life. This is a window of grace we have been given in this year to speak life and to bring life to dying parts of the nation. To speak life to a part of the church right now that is on life support. Jesus Christ himself said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword divides, right? So we can look at it that way too. A sword divides. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that sword, that double-edged sword, penetrates to the dividing line of soul and spirit, of life. We have been given a window. And it's either going to be the sword or life. It's our choice. We've been given this window of grace for this. And right now, the enemy wants to send the sword to devour. The word of God is the sword of the spirit, which brings life because it destroys the works of darkness and iniquity. So we have been given this opportunity here. And we can't squander it. It's a double king priest anointing too, also, 5785. So, and the church and the government are running parallel right now. What's happening in the church is happening in the government. What's happening in the government is happening in the church. And it's happening that way because at the root, God is dealing with the same issue. Now, I'm going to tell you this too. Cabinet members in the Trump administration are going to be meeting their road to Damascus, I believe, in 2025. Why do I believe this? Why do I believe road to Damascus is going to be a theme in 2025? Because towards the end of 2024, Damascus falls. After 13 years, and after what happened with this biblical election that triggered in the realm of the spirit a changing of the guard that went into the nations of the earth, and Damascus falls towards the end of 2024. So as we exit out of 5784 and go into 5785, 5784 being the prison doors opening to Joseph, which was assigned to the trumpet, which should be assigned Damascus falling to the Trump administration and the church. This road to Damascus theme, we are going to see in 2025, and there will be cabinet members that will meet their road to Damascus this year. They will. Saul thought, both Sauls, Saul of Tarsus and King Saul, thought they were doing the Lord's work in pursuing David, in pursuing Christians, and trying to harm them. They thought they were in right standing in accordance with the law. They thought they were in right standing doing the Lord's work. And Saul of Tarsus met his road to Damascus, and he was transformed. And when King Saul met his road to Damascus, he fell. Because he did not want to repent and turn. Now, I'm going to read to you Acts 9, verses 1 through 12, because this is the account. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice say unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight." So after the Damascus moment, the road to Damascus moment, Paul is waiting, who is Saul, on a street called Straight to regain his sight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, because Saul was a Judas. Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, this is interesting because Saul was chosen as an instrument by God to be used by him. And he said, "I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer for my namesake." And he has this road to Damascus moment, and then is waiting on a street called Straight for him to regain his sight, because he had gone down a very crooked road, and that road to Damascus set him straight. And Damascus falling right after what happened with the nation in this election and what's going on in the Middle East is highly profound and prophetic for the year that this is going to be. And you're going to see Saul's become Paul's. And you're also going to see Saul's with a spirit of rebellion going to fall. And you're also going to see those the enemy is trying to goad in to become Saul's and go after their own. So Damascus is a very prophetic, profound event that has happened on the heels of 2025. And I'm going to tell you this story. Something happened to me over the past 4 days, and it's very prophetic for the time we're in and for us entering 2025. Because what happened to me, in a way, is a prophetic warning, I should say, for the church right now and what is happening in the church and in the government as well. And what happened to me over the past, I think this started on Wednesday, is that in our area about 8 days ago, and some of you saw it because now it's all over Facebook locally, three sheep escaped from a farm. And they were on the move, and one was very young, and nobody could get them. And they were becoming very tough to wrangle. And they were petrified of people and would run anytime anyone tried to get near them. So I get a call. So I hear about this situation going on. And when the Lord wants to pull you into something, he will make sure you get pulled into it. Because when the prophetic gets pulled into a situation, when the prophetic office gets pulled into a situation, the situation will begin to change. And so I get a call from the local pharmacy in town, the man's wife, asking me if there's anything I can do is the sanctuary. So I start calling other sanctuaries in the area, seeing what information they know. I start, I'm on the phone with my neighbor at the other property. So me and my neighbor, Tammy, decide we're going to go out and look for these sheep. Now, this is a very busy time of year. And we decide, I think the first time we went was Wednesday. We're going to go out looking for, it was Tuesday. So my husband is at music and voice lessons because it helps him with his speech. And I take off without telling him. He comes home and finds out Amanda's in the woods somewhere tracking sheep. And I didn't hear the phone. I had my cell phone, but he tried to call, but I knew the phone never rang. So I'm going now. Me and Tammy are meeting a neighbor, right? Who I think is on Bowie. Very nice lady with her two young children to take us 15 minutes into the woods to show us where these sheep are hiding out. And I'm thinking, Lord, movies begin this way, where you go walking into the woods with people you don't know. But the Lord was assuring me it was okay. So me and Tammy go with this very nice lady and her two little children who are very happy to show us these sheep. And we go 15 minutes into the woods. I'm in my buck mucking boots. I'm in this big burly coat. I'm all ready for this. We got ropes. I got sheep feed. Like, we're ready. So we get out there and we get within maybe 20 feet of them. And they start running up the ridge. And off the ridge on the other side is like the neighborhood. So we track back and we track up the neighborhood, nothing. So we almost went till it was dark. And we go back home and I walk in and one of our employees, Rebecca, goes, well, if it's not the sheep herding doctor, prophetic minister, president of Ark of Grace Sanctuary. And all of a sudden I see Chris and he goes, I tried calling you and I find out you're in the woods. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I am in so much trouble right now, I'm thinking. So basically I got a good talking to by my husband and I was trying to explain to him the situation. So then Wednesday, it was either Wednesday or Thursday, somebody from the town of Poquay gets in contact with me and gives me a phone number of a woman named Lee who has Pony Up for Kids Foundation, who basically is involved because she knows apparently the sheep belong to a neighbor who are out of town, by the way. So I finally get a hold of Lee and me and my neighbor meet her and we rallied the troops from the neighborhood because me and Tammy happened to see a guy standing on the corner of his house, gave our phone number. His lovely wife calls us. And basically, I tell her we need a bunch of people from the neighborhood to catch these sheep because we're going to have to herd them. And so she goes, I think I can do that. So she starts working over 2 days on rounding up people in the neighborhood, right? Meanwhile, before we go there together. So she rounds some people up. I meet Lee there. Me and Tammy, they're there. The neighborhood moms are there and their kids. And we start tracking these sheep. And so basically, I go taking off into the woods with Lee's friend, crossing over bridges of streams and everything, trying to get ahead of these sheep so I could start driving them the other direction. So this goes on for about 2 hours to no avail. The sheep take off. And I'm thinking now. Now the Lord's got me thinking as I'm running around in the woods, as I'm doing this, right? I'm going, Lord, only you would have me tracking sheep at Christmas. Only you would have me going out to find lost sheep at Christmas. Because this is really happening. So this is why I'm having this conversation with the Lord now. You have me out there trying to find lost sheep at Christmas. How prophetically profound. So Saturday comes. We went out again. And by this time, I called the Dutchess County Sheriff to see if they can tranquilize the sheep, because if as a last resort, we might have to tranquilize them. And she tells me, the deputy, only the DEC can do that. And I went, deputy, there's a lot of people angry with the DEC in New York right now. I'm not sure I want to get them involved. And she starts laughing. She goes, oh, my gosh, peanut. I said, yes. And I said, the DEC aren't going to kill these sheep, are they? And she's laughing at me because she knows, like, she knows what's going on with the DEC right now and like how bad it is. So I said, well, thank you for your help. And I'm going, Lord, I don't want to call the DEC. And it's getting frigid. It's going to be -1, Lord, over the weekend. And I can't bear to have these sheep out there. So Saturday comes and one of the neighbors, Lauren, calls me and she says, we got a group of people. We're going to go out and we're going to try to rope them. Apparently Lee taught some of them how to rope so the sheep could be roped. I said, okay, listen, I have my husband today because his aide wasn't there. But by 3:30, I'm available. So what I start doing is I start doing my Jericho march and praying and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy these sheep are going to be caught today. Father, you say we have not because we ask not. I am asking that these sheep be caught today. And I'm marching around the house and I'm in the car and I'm praying. And I was going to go over there at 3:30. Well, Lauren calls me at 3:30. Amanda, we got him cornered on somebody's porch. How fast can you get here? So I'm like, hold them. We're going to hook the trailer up. So I call Ricky, our facilities manager. I said, Ricky, this is an emergency. I need you to hook the trailer up like now. They have the sheep cornered and Lee can't get to her trailer. So Lee runs over there to help rope them and contain them. And now I'm racing towards Beekman Road to get the trailer and for us to take off. And I've got Chris with me. And Chris is like, what's going on? Where are we going? And I'm like, Chris, we got to go get the sheep. So Ricky had the trailer hooked up in 5 minutes. And we jump in and we go racing towards Riley Road. And now they've got the sheep roped and they're holding them. And they walked one to the edge of a very long driveway. So we show up with the trailer. I fly out of the truck. And the little sheep calls to me when I come out of the truck and they're like, oh my gosh, did you hear that? I'm like, the sheep knows he's being rescued. Like, this is exactly what's going on right now. The sheep knows, they know. And so we open up the back and I help the kids begin to bring the first sheep and load the sheep up into the trailer. And then they carry the other two in and I'm yelling, Ricky, shut us all in. I'll exit the kids out the back door. So now I'm in there with like 5 kids. And 3 sheep. I'm in the trailer with 5 kids and 3 sheep. So I very calmly said, kids, give me all the rope. Because if the sheep get feisty with me, I don't care. I'm used to it. Give me the rope. I want you to exit out that door. And the moms are nervously watching. And I'm going, don't worry. I'm exiting the kids out first. And they're like, oh, good. Okay. Because they want their kids in the trailer. So I exit the kids out. And then I calmly drop the rope. I let them move to one side of the trailer and I exit. And we follow Lee to her farm because she had a shelter set up for them to hold them until the owners get back. And then she, maybe possibly we could try to get these sheep, you know, and take, you know, and disperse them and us take one in at the sanctuary because they were tattered. They were worn. I'm going to show you the picture of them in a minute after we caught them. There it is. There they are after they were in the shelter that Lee made for them after they had been on the run for a week. That was all fresh hay we put down. We brought a bale of hay with us. And so we follow Lee to her farm and we get out and we open up the trailer and now some of the sheep don't want to come out. So I marched in there. I'm like, you know what? A shepherd's got to do what a shepherd's got to do. And I scoop the sheep up in my arms like this and I start marching down the trailer with the sheep. And Chris is going, man, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. Let's just get the sheep in the shelter. I'm fine. Let's just do it. We got to get the sheep in the shelter. So we get all the sheep in. They get food and water. You know, Lee checks them out. And so basically, Ark of Grace was involved with the neighbors on Riley and Bowie Lane, as well as Lee and Pony Up for Kids Foundation in capturing these 3 lost sheep that were all over the Dutchess County feeds. That every time help would try to come, they would run from help. How prophetic is that? Every time help would come, they would try to run from help until we had to corner them and rope them and subdue them to help them. Kind of like what God has to do with us sometimes. And the shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. I left all the animals at the sanctuary and even Chris one night to take off after these sheep and try to pursue them and rescue them. And that is that scripture. It is Sheepgate. I was calling it Sheepgate. I tell our staff, I'm off to deal with Sheepgate 2024. That's what I would say. And I'd walk out the door. But he leaves the 99 to go after the one. I lived that scripture. I literally left everything to go after these lost sheep that were tattered, were afraid, didn't understand we were trying to help them. And many times people don't understand God is trying to help them, and they run from him. And they run from him until he corners them and he subdues them and he allures them to deliver them and set them free. And so basically we reshared the posts thanking Ark of Grace Sanctuary for being involved in rescuing these sheep. And praise God, because it was -1 this morning here in New York. It was -1 degree. So literally this was right on time. God is never late. He is always on time. And I believe that is a picture what I had to go through in what is happening in the church right now. You've got shepherds having to run after sheep that are breaking out, running amok. You've got sheep taking off in the wrong direction right now, right? You have got sheep scared to death of other sheep. You've got sheep afraid of people right now. You've got a lot of this that has erupted in the church. And the shepherd has to go out and maintain order. And the shepherd, because it was a chaotic situation in that neighborhood and in the county because of this, many people were upset. Lee's phone is ringing off the hook. I mean, it was a very chaotic situation. And the shepherd has to go in and maintain order. And the shepherd has to go after the lost sheep and rectify that situation. And right now, that is a picture of what is going on in the church. That is a picture of what's going on in the church right now. And when sheep lose their way, destruction could come. I kept praying for the Lord to put a hedge of protection around these sheep because of predators. These were small sheep. These were fodder for coyotes. And people were like, they're never going to survive. I'm like, nope, I cancel that in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, send your holy angels to surround these sheep and protect them, that not one hair on them is harmed. And I kept praying that. And the Lord protected them. Even while they were on the run, even while they were not listening, even while they were trying to run from help. You got a lot of sheep right now in the church that are running from help, because they don't want to be subdued, because they want to do things their way. Because they broke out of their covering and they were out making a mess and running amok and they were making commotion in the neighborhood and they were causing a spectacle, these sheep. And that is what many are doing right now in the church who are supposed to be leaders. They've broken out from under the covering. They're running amok. They're making a spectacle. It's distracting the rest of the sheep. It's distracting those in the body of Christ. And we all had to stop everything to go pursue them, to subdue them, and put them down. And that's exactly what God is about to do with some of the leadership in the church right now. Because they've made enough of a spectacle. They have caused enough of an issue. They have caused enough of a distraction. And God himself, the shepherd, is about to step in and say enough and corner them and put this down. Because the church has some serious work to do in 2025. We have been given a window of grace to proclaim the gospel to the nations, to be salt and light, and the church cannot look like the Jerry Springer show, and the world looks more normal. Turn that around. The world is not supposed to look at the church and laugh and say, I don't want to be part of that, because these people are worse than what's going on in my home. No, it's supposed to be a place for the sick to come to get healed. And yes, the sheep are now with Lee at her farm till the owners return. And then we're going to see what we could do. So pray, because we would like to take in one of the females. And so just pray right now. But we're getting updates on them. They're doing very well. They're eating, they're drinking, they have warm bedding. And so basically right now they are safe. But I basically just physically lived out the scripture, but also shepherds having to go after rogue sheep that broke out of their covering, did not realize the covering they were under, broke out into the wild where it is dangerous. And basically many people had to drop everything to now deal with this messy situation. Had to drop everything to go deal with this mess that somebody else made. You know who made this mess? The owners of those sheep. By not properly being responsible, perhaps, in the first place. And now, a number of us had to go drop everything and try to clean up that mess that was made by the recklessness. And the I'm going to do what I want, and it doesn't matter how it affects everyone. And that's exactly what went on here. And I thought, Lord, only you would have me out chasing lost sheep at Christmas. Because that's why Jesus was born into this earth. He was born into this earth as the Passover lamb for the lost. To die on the cross for the lost. He came to the earth to pursue the lost. And this is a sign. I believe it's a sign to New York State what happened, but also with the church right now. God is about to come in and subdue some rogue sheep and deal with some shepherds that recklessly let them get out. That is about to happen. And I believe that is one of the reasons the Lord made me go through this. Because the way I felt is probably I wanted to bake cookies. And here I am getting a call and the Lord's like, Amanda, you got to go. And I'm like, ah, and I went. And probably the Lord feels that way sometimes. He's over here trying to deal with something in another country. Something happens over here and he's like, ah, I got to leave and I got to go deal with this. But I went in obedience. I went, because when the prophetic enters a situation, things begin to change. When that power of God enters a situation, things begin to change. So I just physically went through this all week, living this out. And I believe this has to do with what's happening in the church right now publicly. And how the God is about to come in and wrangle some sheep to the ground and deal with those situations because it's made enough of a spectacle. It's enough. And people in the neighborhood were afraid of them too. Apparently people that moved up from the Bronx didn't want the sheep to bite them. I'm like, I want to say, well, they're going to ram you first. They're not going to bite you. So don't worry about the bite because that's not happening. It's interesting how these things happen in prophetic alignment to things that are happening in the nation and the church. And this happened. This happened. And I lived it out and I walked it out and I trekked through the woods. Rebecca came up to me this morning. She goes, I had to pick these little bristles off of your pants. Are these the ones you wore in the woods? I said, yes. Those are the ones I wore in the woods because she helps with things around the house and with Chris as well. And so apparently I got bristles all over these pants because I'm running through bushes at this point, trying to get ahead of these sheep. I mean, we were just like, you know, full steam ahead with this. But it happened in prophetic alignment with what is going on in the church right now. And God called the prophetic in and the shepherds to come and put down that spectacle because it was distracting everybody. And everybody had to constantly drop everything to come in and sift through the mess that somebody else made because their sheep got out. And these sheep were dirty and they were torn and a little weathered from what they had just been through. But God was merciful and they got put under a covering to heal. So I don't think that's any accident that this happened. And I wanted to share that with you because prophetically, it really is a message to the church right now. Prophetically, it is a message to the church. Someone's got to be the standard right now. There are some things in the government that are about to go haywire. Somebody has to be the standard right now, and it has to be the people of God, the church. Bible sales are at an all-time high. Did you know that? Bibles are flying off the shelf all over this country. You know why? Because people are searching. These lost sheep are searching for the truth. And we're the ones that have to go out and give it to them. And if the church is playing Barnum and Bailey's three-ring circus, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? People are searching for the truth right now. They're not searching for Jerry Springer, although some may be. But people are searching for the truth right now. And we have to be able to, when the Lord tells us to, at a moment notice, drop everything and go out into a situation to maintain order. Because otherwise, it's just going to be continued confusion. And that's what happened the first day. There was a lot of confusion. People were trying to help that weren't maybe familiar with wrangling sheep. You know, everyone was going in a different direction. And it was, but by the second or third day, there was complete order. There was a plan. Everything was coming into place. Praise God. And the sheep were found. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Just like Saul, who became Paul. 1 Samuel 23:7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gate and bars. So the Lord is not with Saul. Saul is not serving the Lord. However, this lying, deceiving spirit has him so deceived that Saul thinks God, the God that tore the kingdom away from him, has now delivered David into his hand. So Saul has lost all spiritual compass for what is happening here. Saul is attempting to destroy who God has anointed, and Saul thinks God is with him to destroy who God has anointed when God has left him. Kind of a picture of some of what's going on in the church right now. And the government. They're trying to get Donald Trump to become a Saul. Why is this happening? Because Saul disobeyed the Lord when it came to Amalek. He disobeyed the Lord, making a sacrifice he was not authorized to make. He disobeyed the Lord by attempting to kill David multiple times. There are many ministries, or some of them right now, that are facing those Amalek moments right now. There's parts of the government that are facing their Amalek moment right now. Both Saul of Tarsus and King Saul were deceived into thinking that pursuing those God had called was righteous and was right before God, when in fact it was the exact opposite, because they lost all spiritual compass. And when you lose all spiritual compass, you can be deceived real easy into believing what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. And part of the church and what's going on in it right now has lost that spiritual compass. to the point where it's become a telenovela. That theme of Saul and Paul will go through 2025. That theme of Saul and Paul will go through 2025. So just keep that in mind, because it's going to go through 2025. I truly believe that. And we'll see next what the Lord has me go after in the woods. You never know. This was one of the oddest situations in this county we've seen in a while. Even the sheriffs were being briefed on what was happening with these sheep. But all glory be to God, he's merciful. And I believe the Lord is going to be merciful in situations right now with some ministries, but he's going to subdue quite a bit in order to show mercy. So keep that in mind, because I'm praying about some things to talk about coming up at the end of the week or next week. So I'm just praying about it. This is why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because the Lord is still speaking to me about what just happened over the past 4 days and what I, you know, we physically endured. And those neighbors were lovely. They were lovely, lovely. Had a wonderful time with them. They're like, oh, we should get together for hot cocoa and stuff. And I'm like, okay, we can do that. It was just wonderful how the community came together for this. It really was. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I wanted to show you a few things at the end here. We have hilarious animal pics that I think you have to see for yourself. I bought these hats for these chickens a year ago. They have finally taken the hats, our staff, and put them on our chickens to get them all ready for the holiday season. Yep, so this is one of our girls looking all nice and festive in their little hats. Yes, we have hats for chickens here at Ark of Grace. Oh, there's Joshua and Archie, two best buds. Joshua is one of the sweetest sheep, I have to tell you. He's got a great disposition, the sheep. So him and Archie have become best friends. It's been wonderful for Archie. And so we'll see how Joshua progresses. We'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting to watch him as he grows up. There's Molly. Yep, with Joy. We decorated the parrot room. We gave them some festive decorations. Yep, Molly is emphasizing the justice of Yahweh. That's probably going to continue into 2025. And there's Josie, her close-up. Josie is a spaz. I don't know how else to say it. I love her, but she is a spaz. She's a funny spaz and very entertaining. And there's Bullet. He is at our other property with Ricky. And so, yep, there's Bullet already for his first Christmas. Bullet was rescued off of a euthanasia list, actually. Was pulled by our sanctuary manager, and Ricky ended up adopting him. There's Prince hanging out down below. Yep, all the horses are coated. It's way too cold right now, so all the horses are coated. There's his up close. He's got a beautiful coat on. And there's the ducks. Now, Muscovy ducks are very hardy. They will jump in water when it's like 40 degrees outside. So they're very hardy animals. Very good in the winter. They do have plenty of shelter, though. And they're all just hanging out. There's Noah with his new toy. He got a new toy, a new treat ball. And so basically he's been pushing that all around his indoor dwelling. Now that it's winter, he's got to be indoor all the time. And there's me today in 3-4 degree weather. I don't know what it was. It was something like really super cold, hanging out with the sheep outside. There's Joshua smelling my hair. He was actually smelling my hair as we were taking the shot. And so I was out with them actually before I came on here. So I went outside to lock Noble up and to just check on them. And so Joshua likes hair. I don't know else to say it, but if you put, he will smell your hair if you put your hair in his face. Also, we have cookies. So basically our viewer sent in cookies, but I'll show you our cookies. So these are some of the cookies I made. These are cream cheese sugar cookies. Those are Linzer tarts. I've been baking for days. Let's just pray my husband thanks me because his whole family is coming over. So let's just pray my husband appreciates the madness I've been enduring. I've been chasing sheep and getting ready for his family. I mean, I don't know if that's something that's supposed to go together. I'm not sure, but I've been chasing sheep and getting ready for his family for Christmas. And so thank God for those who have helped me in this. I am so appreciative because it is, you know, I'm running 0 to 90 all day. And especially after what just happened over the past 4 days. So it's been an interesting Christmas for sure. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever forget this one, having to pursue lost sheep at Christmas. I think that pretty much puts an explanation point on it for me. And so it was just, it's been, praise God, it's been good. So, those were our viewers' Christmas cookies. So we asked them to send in pictures of their Christmas cookies that they made. Our team put it together. They look delicious. All of you are quite amazing bakers out there who watch us. And so that was a really nice montage our team put together. I saw one of them, a bunch of cats surrounding the cookies. So apparently someone has at least 3 cats that like Christmas cookies, but they were adorable. Thank you for sending your pictures in. We so appreciate it. And we really want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. We are so grateful for all of you. We are grateful that the Lord allows us to come on and do what we do. We are grateful for all our viewers. We love you. We wish you a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And we just pray the Lord's blessings and presence be with you this holiday. We truly remember that even though Christ did not die, Christ was not born during December. Christ died for our sins. He purchased us at Calvary, but he was not born in December. He was born around September or right before Passover, actually. So they have pinpointed it to those 2 times. And that's the time he was born. And even though this is the time that many celebrate his birth, we should be celebrating the birth of Christ year round, that he even was willing to come to this earth, be birthed into the earth, take human form, and teach us and walk with us and die for our sins. We should be celebrating that year round. And I am forever grateful to the Lord for that, for his mercy. That is the greatest gift we have ever been given. The gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of being rescued and brought into a relationship with Almighty God as our Father through Christ Jesus. That truly is the greatest gift we could ever be given, is to be in that relationship. And if you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, this is a wonderful, wonderful time to do it. And I just encourage you to confess that you are a sinner, that you need a savior, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he purchased you with the highest price, the shedding of his blood, that you repent and turn from your old life from that day forward, that you would ask the Lord to fill you, to come into your life and your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, to surrender to him from that day forward, that you would become a new creation in Christ. I encourage you to say that tonight. If you haven't, if you have felt that tugging, that is the Lord tugging, that is your shepherd coming after you to bring you home. So please answer that call. If you do answer that call tonight, please write us at hello@arcofgrace-ministries.com so we could try to get you some resources if you need it. That is the first step in an incredible lifelong relationship you will have with God Almighty himself through Jesus Christ. It is the first step. Every relationship begins with a first encounter. Every relationship has a starting point. That is yours. Please, I encourage you to do it today in such an amazing, amazing time that we are in right now and what we are entering in 2025, because we are going to need the covering of the Lord in order to walk out in faith what we need to walk out this year. So God bless everyone. Have a Merry Christmas. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will be back on after the holiday. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together. And we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue, it helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs in our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.